And here we go on a Monday, George. I mean, is there anything to talk about or what?
None at all.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know where to begin. We could begin talking about the incredible... that Duke Central Florida game was really what the tournament's kind of all about, right? The mid-major taking on the big giant, drama back and forth, great plays, mind-blowingly dumb play. Like that game had a little bit of everything. I mean, literally a little bit of everything you could want in an NCAA tournament game. And boy, we kind of needed that after what was a little bit of a snooze fest of a second round. I don't think I've ever seen a second round of tournament games where the separation was so clear, right? Like where, and I tweeted this, there's a big difference between winning one game in the tournament and winning two games in the tournament. You know, you could all of a sudden, you know who all of a sudden looked real average? Murray State. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, Murray State looked like a shaky Ohio Valley Conference team. You know, like, all of a sudden, teams like Florida and Nova looked average. And that's kind of what the tournament can be like. It's a big difference between winning one game in the tournament, winning two games, and each round you go, if you have weakness, if you have flaws, if you have vulnerabilities, they'll likely get revealed. But man, all year, anybody that follow, and I know a lot of people don't start watching college basketball until like March or like late February. All year, it kind of felt like there was a gap between the top 8 to 10 teams and everyone else, and even the top like 15 or 16 teams and everyone else. And that ended up kind of playing out to be true here in the first weekend. Cause boy, it is chalky out there. I mean, it is, you go across the board. It is, it's a lot of one seeds, two seeds, three seeds, five seeds. Like it's a lot of the top seeds advancing a lot. And so there is a lot to dive into in what we saw this past weekend. And man, a part of me still can't believe. I just, because I'm stupid and I have no life, I pulled up the final 4 minutes of the Duke Central Florida game again today and watched it. How did Central Florida lose that game? I mean, how did Central Florida lose? Johnny Dawkins, they have to be going, when their eyes opened this morning, they had to have thought, oh, how?
It's the basketball gods, man.
I mean, how, George?
I don't understand how that happened.
I have no idea. I thought it was bad. And then I watched it again, slept on it, and then what? And it's like, how? How on earth did that game unfold the way it did? Mind-blowing. Totally and completely mind-blowing. But we got so many things to tackle today. Okay, I need to take a deep breath. Calm down. You know what wasn't mind-blowing? What happened last night with Nebraska and TCU in some ways. Right, like, it kind of felt like Nebraska was due for a game like that where, you know, Nebraska, they had energy in spurts, but overall didn't have that same magic that they've had for the past few weeks. And this kind of magical run to what was a nightmare season officially ends on the road in the second round of the NIT at the hands of TCU. So the season is officially over for Nebraska, and now we all kind of play the waiting game. First of all, again, shout out to Johnny Trueblood and the whole team for how they finished the season. From the Iowa Senior Day comeback to the Butler first round NIT game, that was flat out fun. That was fun to watch. So shout out and salute to those dudes. But let's not lose sight of the fact of what this season was. And you know what this season was? A failure. Just because a movie has a feel-good ending doesn't make it a good movie that should be up for Best Picture. Just because the prince and the princess end up reuniting and kissing and music's playing doesn't make it a great movie. Sure, the last 3 weeks have felt good and right and fun, but let's not lose sight of what we all expected from this basketball team and what this team looked like for a good stretch of the year when it really mattered. This was on paper supposed to be the best Husker basketball team in two decades. Not only, listen, they were expected to not only make the NCAA tournament, but finally break down that wall and win the program's very first NCAA tournament game. And that didn't happen. Again, this team from January 2nd till March 5th was a total train wreck. During that time, January 2nd to March 5th, it's a long time. It's 2 months. Not 2 weeks, not 2 days. 2 months. Plenty of time to, quote unquote, snap out of it. 2 months. Nebraska's record during that time was 4-13. When it mattered, when the pressure was on, this team folded. Totally and completely folded. So listen, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer or Mr. Turn on the microphone and yell at you through the radio or anything like that. But what I'm trying to do is make sure people see the whole picture. Again, I love Johnny Trueblood. Again, I've known that dude for 10 years. My brother was his high school coach. Trust me, nobody has enjoyed the past 3 weeks more than I have. But that doesn't erase the disappointment of this season. This year, if we're giving it a grade, it's hard to not give it an F. It's hard not to. When on paper this was supposed to be the best Nebraska basketball team maybe ever, or in particular in the last 20 years, expectations were make the tournament and win a game, and that doesn't happen and you collapse in the season, that's not good. And while you may be driving around or listening to this and go, geez, F, wow, that feels harsh. Well, you need to start having some legit standards for this program and don't make it the little engine that could if you really want to see some things change. You know what I mean? You really want to see some things change? Don't make the program out to be the little engine that could. That's all I'm saying. And again, I talked about this. I think it's pretty coincidental that once the pressure was off and the expectations were gone, this team all of a sudden started playing well. And listen, we can get into the minutiae and all that of why or how, but right now it's got to be a bottom line deal. You either got it done or you didn't, period. And Nebraska didn't get it done this year. And Nebraska basketball hasn't been getting it done. Say this out loud. So that win over Butler in the NIT last week, that win over Butler in the NIT, that was Nebraska's first postseason win of any kind since 2007. Let that sink in for a little bit. Nebraska hasn't won a postseason game, NIT, CBI, CIT. Of course, we know NCAA tournament is a no. But Nebraska hasn't won a postseason game since they beat Charlotte in the first round of the NIT in 2007. That, my friends, is unbelievable to say out loud. Past 15 years, Nebraska's been to one NCAA tournament and has two NIT wins. Pretty remarkable to say out loud. And so now we all wait. What happens now? I mean, it feels like a foregone conclusion that Tim Miles is going to be let go after 7 years. And it feels like there are a lot of legitimacy surrounding the Hoiberg rumors in Nebraska. But as I said on Wednesday, one of the risks of waiting and allowing Tim Miles to coach in the NIT, if you are going to fire him, is, number one, you give Fred Hoiberg a chance to change his mind. And number two, other jobs might open and present a new situation that wasn't there a week ago. Since we last talked, Vandy fired their coach, Bama fired their coach, Cal fired their coach, A&M has a vacancy. Like, all those jobs are now open. And while I don't think any of those jobs make sense for Hoiberg, what it does is it starts the carousel. So we'll see. Again, my guess is, based on the rumors and the people that I've spoke to, I have no real inside knowledge on it, but based on the rumors and the things that I've heard, is that Hoiberg's going to be the guy. But you just never know. You never know. So, thus concludes the Nebraska basketball season. John emails me and says, Nebraska was expected by some to play in the Sweet 16 this year. They lost in the quarterfinals of the NIT. Lost in the second round of the NIT. They lost in the second round of the NIT. That is a failure of a season. I'm happy for the guys that they pulled it together for a little run at the end, so it didn't feel quite as bad. But the absolute implosion during the season was the expectations began to be felt is inexcusable. And anyone that thinks that that run should get Miles more time is thinking with their heart or just doesn't understand sports. That's from John. Yeah, I mean, I just because a movie has a good ending doesn't make it an Oscar Best Picture nominee. Just because a song has a great line at the end of it doesn't make it a Grammy for Song of the Year. Right? Like, you got to look at the total body of work and then judge it. And you also got to take into consideration what were the expectations heading in. I thought heading into the year that this Nebraska team had a real chance to right now be alive in the NCAA tournament. I thought this team had a chance to go to the Sweet 16. So again, I don't know how, by any stretch of the imagination, you couldn't say that this year was a failure. And again, for when it mattered most, from January 1st to March 1st, January 2nd to March 5th to be exact, this team went 4-13 and was a disaster. 402-951-1620. All right, wide open this hour, tons to get to. Anything you want to hit me up with? Holla at me, all right? Zone inbox, Equitable Bank zone inbox, Nick at 1620thezone.com, JTech Construction zone Twitter feed at Nick Baugh. Mike Schaefer, Matt Verzal, all still to come on the show. Coming up next, we'll dive into a little bit of my thoughts with some of the big takeaways from the NCAA tournament. Game time.